We're talking about the Holy Spirit, His presence, His power, His purpose. On last week, Pastor Dawson reminded us of three holy days. He reminded us of the Passover. He reminded us of Pentecost. And He reminded us of the tabernacle. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter. That's the tabernacle of the Almighty. He reminded us that He saved us, He empowered us, and He's coming back again. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise for that. However, receiving the unseen is not easy. Most Christians find the cross of Christ easier to accept than the Spirit of Christ. Good Friday makes more sense than Pentecost. Christ, our substitute. Jesus taking our place. These are astounding concepts that we can embrace. They fall in the arena of transaction and substitute. Familiar concepts to understand. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you begin to talk about the supernatural. You begin to talk about the unseen. And a lot of times people can get uncomfortable when you start talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, for some of us, the information will be a revelation. It's like the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. It's like you're going to have an aha moment. I get it. The Holy Ghost is not, you catch. Either you got it or you don't. The Holy Ghost is not gyrations. The Holy Ghost is not acting belligerent. And we're going to see through scriptures that the Holy Ghost, it's for a purpose. He is for a purpose. And once you receive a revelation through the Word of God, what's going to happen is an illumination. Like the light bulb comes on in your heart. You're going to get aha. Aha! I got it. I got it. When your boss begins to act like he got some sense, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. When your spouse comes straight home from work, that's the Holy Ghost, because you stop fussing. Amen. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost is practical. Amen. When you pay somebody rent and they don't owe you nothing, or pay their mortgage, that's the Holy Ghost. You get a aha. That word, give and shall be given. Give it shall be given. Give. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give. See, you get like the illumination. Then after illumination, it's inspiration. You inspired to work the word. Has anyone ever worked the word? He said, try me. He said, prove me. He should have told me to do that because I'm from the hood. I need evidence anyway. He said, prove, try me. He said, have you ever worked the word? Let me see if this works. Let me see if I'll forgive somebody that somebody will forgive me. Let me see if this will work. Amen. That's what happens when you're inspired. And then after that, what kicks in is application. My goodness. When you apply the word, not to your situation, to your life. Have you ever been I was in a boardroom one time talking business in the company I work for, and somebody said something good. I said, hallelujah. I don't care about no church and state stuff. Care about that. Fire me. He'll give me another position. I said, hallelujah. They looked at me because they know what I'm about. Crazy than the Betsy Bug. Hallelujah. And I didn't say, oops, I'm sorry. Not me. I wasn't sorry. I was not sorry. That was Holy Ghost. That's that application. Amen. That's, see, when just, you don't have to quote scriptures. Stay with me, Ken. You don't have to quote scripture. Just let it, just let him, not it. He. Let him come out of you. You don't need to walk around with the Bible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My wife will tell you, ask my wife after service. Everywhere we go, favor follows us. That lady at the checkout don't know why she gave me a 50% discount. I know why. Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Amen. See, when you apply the word works. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. The same was in the beginning. That's Jesus. When you let him come out of you, but he got to get in first. You got to study this. Meditate. Meditate. Now, what happened? I can't leave because the camera. Love you. I want to hug you too so much. I see covenant right here. Covenant right there. Covenant right there. Not just a marriage, but covenant. They're working the word. And I see it. They're working the word in their mouth. And I see it coming out of them. They got his cheesy from ear to ear. He got those good kudos when he get home. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what happens is, after you apply, then transformation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your stinking thinking. I mean mine. See, once you get that word, the Holy Ghost in you, it just happens. Can anyone tell me the day they stop using profanity? Say, this is a good day to stop cussing. I can't tell you that. It just happened. I stopped using profanity. It just happened. I can't tell you the day I stopped smoking cocaine. Well, this I can tell you the day, the last day I stopped. But I can't tell you, well, this is a good day to stop smoking cocaine. I didn't do that. When I asked Jesus into my life. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Transformation. 32 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. Before then, I used to love boxing. I was at the No Mas fight. Anybody know what the No Mas fight? Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray. I was at that fight in Vegas. I was at the Ali and Holmes fight. I was at that fight in Vegas. That when Holmes whooped him up, I used to love boxing. Not too long ago, one of those fights, that guy run around the ring, I got caught up. You know how everybody got caught up? Gave them part of that $1 billion they got. I tried to watch it. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch that fight. I told my wife, I said, baby, I don't enjoy boxing anymore. Something happened. I got transformed. It was too violent for me. It was too violent. I didn't enjoy it. They were hitting each other. I said, I can't believe I was watching that. I was hooked. I bought a ticket on United Airlines, went to Vegas, third row around the ring, right there, excited. But since I gave my heart to Jesus, woo! That's Holy Ghost, transformation. Now let's dig deep in the word. Go to Joel chapter 2. We're going to talk about a prophecy, then the fulfillment of that prophecy. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let us pray. Father, your word speaks for itself. You don't need my expository theatrics, because your word would not return to you void. You don't need my hermeneutics or my homiletics or the exegesis of the scripture, because your word will fulfill the purpose for which you intended it. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. quicken my mortal body, I decrease that you will increase, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of scripture in the book of Joel, chapter 2, several topics I mentioned. The day of the Lord, a call to repentance, and it talks about the land being refreshed, where it said, I will restore what the cankerworm and the locust. Wow. Get your revelation. I will restore what has been destroyed, what has been taken from you. I don't know who this is for, but your gift has not died. It's dormant. I speak to that gift now. Let it rise up in the name of Jesus. Then it goes on in verse 28 to talk about a promise that God spoke through the prophet Joel. He said, I will pour out my spirit on just Christians. I will pour out my spirit on just Jews and Gentiles. It says all flesh. It says all flesh. See, in this passage of scripture, it's very important to understand why the Holy Spirit through the prophet Joel said all flesh. See, this was going to happen in the future because during that time, the Holy Spirit was only poured out upon those who received a special assignment from the Lord, such as the priests and the prophets. It was given specifically for specific individuals like Amos and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk and others. The Spirit of God was poured out upon them. After the book of Malachi, right there between Malachi and Matthew, scholars says there's a silent. God did not speak for about 400 years, and there's a silence there. That's what scholars believe. The Holy Spirit was silent. But then we find in the book of John, who some believe was the last prophet, we call him John the Baptist, simply because he was baptizing people in a passage of scripture. But some believe that he was the last prophet. He said something that was very profound, that's very important to our belief system. And I quote, there's one coming after me that I am not even worthy to unlatchet his shoes. And then on the following day, in that passage of scripture, you'll see when John was baptizing, in between baptisms, Jesus walks up and John says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin, that's singular, the sin of the world. And what sin is he talking about? Unbelief. See, the sin of unbelief, everything else falls under that sin, flows from that sin. The sin, he said, Jesus said, you're already condemned because of your unbelief. John 3:17. So Jesus comes on the scene, and what he brings with him is the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So now something needs to happen. Jesus is going to repair the breach. So he comes and he allows himself to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. We were, it happened before we realized it happened in our lives. See, on the cross, I was delivered from being a dope fiend. On the cross, I was set free from being an alcoholic. On the cross, I was delivered from being an ex-convict. On the cross, I learned how to be a good husband. On the cross, I was taught how to be a father. On the cross, I was taught how to serve and sell out to the things of Christ. He nailed my sin of unbelief, and my sins of foolishness on the cross. And in John chapter 14, Before he walks the road of Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrow or the way of grief or the way to his crucifixion, he begins to prepare his disciples for his departure. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. Then it goes on to say in verse 16, John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Somebody get in the word right now. Another comforter. And he may abide with you how long? How long? Now, he said the Father is going to give you another comforter. Who is the other comforter? Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. Jesus. He said, I'm leaving, but the Father's going to send another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth. Now, this is powerful. When I got into this, I got a revelation. An illumination. I was inspired to. I got it. He dwelleth with you and shall be, future tense, in you. Now, who was dwelling with them? Jesus. Jesus. The Holy Spirit in Jesus. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Everything I speak because the Father told me to say it. Amen? He said, the Holy Ghost shall be in you. Now, this is significant. Remember what Joel said. I will pour out my spirit, speaking for God, upon all flesh. Amen? Jesus said, the Holy Ghost shall be in you. Watch this, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Our Lord, our Savior, after he said these things, will go through a horrible series of events that will lead to his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. After he had ascended to the Father, he returns to the disciples with some final instructions that apply to each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Look at that. Then right after he said that, he said, go. He said, go ye into all the world. Go to your place of business, starting in Jerusalem, starting in your family, starting in your neighborhood. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 8. He said, go into Jerusalem. You shall receive power from on high to be my witnesses. Don't miss that. What's the power for? What's the authority for? To be his witness. Go ye into all the world. Go in Jerusalem. Then you'll go to Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. I can remember several years ago, I lived in the hood. And I didn't know any better. I thank God I ain't know any better. I didn't. You know, I just believe God. Believe God. And there was a drug dealer on my block. And you know what I did? I started having someone make that drug dealer some cookies, some cake. I did. Because he said, I read that loving kindness have I drawn thee. I started telling people, make that brother some cookies, some cake. Say some nice things to him. Eventually, he left our block. I don't know where he went. He left. I never called him a drug dealer. He knew what he was doing. I never said he was going to bust hell wide open. He knew he was going to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just worked the word. Amen. Eventually, he didn't, and he told all the game bangers, don't mess with his kids. They call me preacher man. Don't mess with his kids. Hallelujah. Don't mess with his boys. Work in the word. So Jesus, the Holy Ghost, he said, go and wait. You shall be endued with power from on high. So in chapter 2, verse 1, we see something happens. Something occurs. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? How many?
One.
Look at your neighbor and say, uno. Look at your other neighbor and say, one.
One.
I'm not talking about the card game either. Uno mean one. They were in one accord. First of all, they obeyed him. They went and waited. But they were not waiting haphazardly. They were waiting like we were waiting last week when we were seeking the face of God. When we were into the inner court. When we were worshiping. When we responded to the word of God through Pastor Jerry Wayne Doss. And I don't know about you, my whole week has been different. They got a new employee on Monday. They had a new employee. They got more work out of me on Tuesday. They got more work out of me on Wednesday. You know they call that hump day? That was my Holy Ghost day. Wednesday was my Holy Ghost day. Why? Because I responded to the word of God that came through Pastor Doss. And it carried me through the week. See, that word in chapter 1, it says, you shall be my witnesses. So what does a witness do? They share what happened. Amen? They express what they experienced, what they saw occur. I saw the Holy Ghost on you last Sunday. I saw you crying. I saw you laughing when nothing was funny. I heard some of your voices as you were witnessing to one another. And I saw you didn't even want to leave after service was over. After pastor said amen, people stood around. Why? Because it's the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So now look what happens. As they are in what we call the upper room, seeking the face of God, the Holy Spirit comes in and lands on each and every one of them. And they begin to speak in the languages of others who were there. Don't miss that. Somebody say it wasn't gibberish. They begin to speak in languages in the other people that was there. Amen? Now, those who were there who didn't understand, look at verse 13. It says they began to mock them. They began to make fun of them. They began to ridicule them. They thought they had been drinking new wine. Anybody remember Boone's Farm, Wild Irish Rose? Anybody know anything about Mad Dog 2020? Huh? How about White Pope? Y'all know nothing about White Pope. See, y'all bougie. I was poor. I was a poor alcoholic. Not poor. I was so poor I couldn't afford the R. I was poor. I was a poor alcoholic. I was so close to moonshine. If I didn't live in the inner city... As a matter of fact, we call it hooch. We made us some hooch. Anybody know about hooch? Y'all know y'all from Chicago. Some of y'all from Chicago be looking at me like, know about hooch? We'll make some hooch. That's when I was in penitentiary. We made hooch. Amen. They were so demonstrative. They were so expressive. See, that's why I don't care what people tell me. Tell me, don't take all that because I'm very demonstrative. It take all that for me. I don't care what it out. It take all that for me. You wasn't waiting for the liquor store to open up at 9 o'clock in the morning. You wasn't at the dope man's house. Wouldn't let the dope man sleep. You wasn't paid on Friday and broke on Saturday. It take all that for me. Hallelujah. Do you, I do me. Amen. It take all that for me. So if I want to be drunk in the Holy Ghost, yeah. If I want to get drunk, let me tell you something. I love Pastor Dawes so much because Pastor Dawes serious about the Lord. He don't play. That man don't play. I like that. The Lord used Pastor Dawes to set me free from some stuff. An ex-pastor of a church for 10 years got wounded. Wounded. But God used the man of God to heal me, to deliver me, to set me free. And I know Pastor Dawes serious about the Lord. So whatever I do, I better make sure it's the Holy Ghost. One day, the Holy Ghost hit me. I was in row 4, seat 1. I wanted to run around the church so bad. And I could feel my flesh rise up. Don't do that. Don't be making no scene. Pastor Dawes, don't play that. Don't be making no scene. I could feel it all in my heart. Pastor Dawes, I could go, you know, everything done in decency. Pastor Dawes, I want to just like, the wheels on the bus go around there. I want to run. Because it was like fire. And I know it wasn't emotionalism. I know it was the Holy Ghost. So, for that camera, I can't move. So guess what I did? I went right there. I ran in circles right there. That little spot right there in front of the sound system, the control booth, I didn't run. And I was satisfied. Because the spirit is subject to the prophet. You can't tell me the Holy Ghost overtook me. No, that was you. No. I ran around. But then there was another time I couldn't hold it. So I ran around the church. But I was scared. I was hoping Pastor Dawes didn't trip me when I came back. But I know he wouldn't do that. Because he's a man of God. But I was scared, but I ain't care. I ain't care about no Pastor Dawes. I ain't care about Elder Jeter. I didn't care about my wife. I was just like David. I could be more undignified. More undignified. I'd be more undignified. I'd be like David's wife. You need to be proper. I wasn't proper when I was drinking that liquor. I wasn't proper when I was cooking that cocaine. I wasn't proper when I was being an unfaithful husband. Now that I'm saved, I'm going to work this word. Shoot. I'm going to work this word. So we see that the endued with power, go to Ephesians 5 and 18. Endued with power from on high is to be a witness. Well, Pastor, I'm an introvert. I'm quiet. Let American Idol come on. You're going to be singing with them. Oh, Pastor, I'm too dignified for that. Let your favorite team come on. You're going to be rolling in the floor. No, Pastor, I worship the Lord in my way. You're right. But there got to be some witness. There got to be some witness. There got to be some fruit. Got to be some gifts. Got to be some witness. He said, you shall be my witness after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Read it. Right after he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, then he said, and you will be my witness. Go to Matthew. All authority has been given to me. Go. Same word he gave Abraham. Go. So this should, look at that empty seat. Look at that empty seat right now. Look at that empty seat by you. Look at that empty seat right there. Uh-huh. That seat should be with somebody that you brought. Yeah, right. Look at that. Look at that. You bring somebody. You. Go get your family member. Hurry up. Hurry up. Go get your family member. Let them feel the presence of the Holy Ghost right there where you are. Right there where you are. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Paul wrote this to the church of Ephesus. Paul said, in first three chapters, it tells us who we are in Christ. You are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, that any man should boast. is a gift from God. Then the last three chapters, it talks about our responsibility in Christ. In chapter 6, it tells us how to be dressed for success by putting on the full armor of God. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, glory. Okay, now watch this. In chapter 5, verse 18, he's still telling us what to do, but he tells us what not to do. He tells us what to do and what not to do. He said, do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's telling us what to do and what not to do. Don't be drunk with wine. They thought them brothers was drunk. Not with wine, with new wine. Go ahead. Go. That's good. You got it. You got that. With new wine. So something different happened to them than what happens to a drunk. Something different happened. Now, Paul said, don't let wine control you. Let every fiber of your body be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Not to speak gibberish, but to be a witness. Somebody say, go ye. Look at the neighbor. Say, neighbor. Get up off your rusty dusty and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Now, my mom used to tell me when I was a bum, I wouldn't look for a job. Boy, get off your rusty dusty. Hallelujah. She's smiling on me now. Thank you, Jesus. My mama prayed for me. The woman at the well. Isaiah said, I will pour my spirit on your offspring. Bring that one up, the Isaiah scripture, sister. I will pour my spirit on your offspring. Joel said, I shall pour my spirit upon all flesh. Now, Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, come to me. This won't quench your thirst. This will give you diabetes. This will give you obesity. This will clog up your arteries. Somebody say, agua.
Agua.
Water.
Water.
Say, gulp, gulp, gulp. Jesus told that sister at the well, said, anybody drink this water, they're going to be thirsty again. But he said, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst. John chapter 4. He said, you'll never thirst. Then what is he talking about? Go to John chapter 7. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, right standing with God. Anybody thirsty? Stand up if you're thirsty. If you're thirsty, stand up, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Now as I close, I got to share this with you. And I apologize to the first service because I got so geeked. I got so charged that I didn't share, but I got to share this. I got to share. What page is that on, baby? My children's testimony about their dad. It's on the last one, baby. Page 6, because I always give my wife a copy of my sermon. Everywhere we go preach, throughout the Illinois and other states, I give her a copy of my sermon. Because she's my number one prayer partner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. My children. I have a 37-year-old, 33-year-old, and a 24-year-old. Oh, here it is. I just saw her name, LaDonna. My firstborn, she's my namesake, LaDonna. Daddy's little girl. I sent them a text, Pastor. When you gave me the assignment, I sent them a text. Because all of them only know a saved daddy, except my 37-year-old. She was 5 years old when I received salvation. So I sent them a text. And I asked them, I said, children, it hit me. I was at my desk at work on my time. And it hit me. Because y'all be stealing time and wonder why you won't get a promotion. You better work this word. Better work this word. I got 3 promotions before I had any degree. I was making $90,000 a year, had no degrees. That's another one. I say that for next time, Pastor, give me an assignment. Well, anyway, I sent them a text. I said, children, I said, I need you to do me a favor. Pastors, give me an assignment to preach. There were times in the home when we were on 96 and Bishop in Chicago. Somebody said, Southside. I can remember when I would get excited about something that happened, I could hear one of you say, Daddy's thirsty again. I would always hear them say that. Dad, they knew to leave me alone. When I was caught up in the Holy Ghost, they don't bother me. They hear me in the basement, speaking in tongues, crying for their butts, and, you know, just upset, you know, seeking the face of God. You know, in between blessings, you know, I've never been broke, but in between blessings. And I sent them a text. I know my time up. They all different. The 33-year-old's trying to find his way back. I asked him, I said, children, what is your definition of daddy's thirsty? Because I wanted to know so I could share it with you. So my 33-year-old, he's an actor in Hollywood. I mean, Wood. He's an actor. He's suave. He cool. He's like that old Donald. He cool. So he sends me, he said, Dad, I guess that means you caught the Holy Ghost. That was a cool. But then my 24-year-old that's in Arizona, that's going to be a millionaire in about 2 years, that's still walking with the Lord, all he knows is a saved daddy. I took him around the country with Promise Keepers when they were young boys. So I've seen them lay hands on men, get slain in the spirit at the age of 7. So he said, being thirsty means to be on charge or excited about something. More excited than anyone else in the situation. Now my daughter, my oldest, somebody say firstborn. My oldest, this is what she said, blew me away. I love my baby. And I had to get delivered from this. I used to call her my prodigal. I used to call her my prodigal. She broke daddy's heart. Broke my heart. Woo! A nappy head boy snatched my baby. But I had to repent. But I was in the church 4 days out of a week when I should have been at home pastoring my daughter. Broke my heart. She had an abortion by Planned Parenthood. I didn't even know about it. Her mama didn't even know about it. I was mad for years. Not at my baby. That's why I hate that devil. Hate him. That's why I go hard after Christ. That's why I go hard after other people's kids. I ain't mean to share that, but too late now. Okay. LaDonna. This is my baby, LaDonna. She's speaking to me, texting. This person. Somebody say personal. Don't put this on Facebook. Let me hear you. Don't put this on Facebook. All right. You always was pumped up to talk about Jesus. You be on charge mode like the Energizer Bunny. Anyone mention Jesus or God is like something come over you and you get geeked. She got 5 emojis. They look geeked. You got 5 emojis. You get geeked. 32 years later, I'm still geeked. I ain't going back to jail or hell. Not me. Only people that understand your thirstiness for Christ are those that know your story or are in tune with their own story and understand that before Christ, you had all these battles. But once you found Jesus in my daddy's voice, it's like you're a brand new creature. Communion is like an energy shot for you. When before, Crown Royal was your choice. So yes, Daddy, you be thirsty.